it. Bye-bye.
This is your Orioles Radio Network Game Rewind.
Today, the Orioles will try to end a three-game losing streak, and at the same time, they'll be trying to end an eight-game losing streak on the road. In a moment, Buck Showalter and the manager's report after this.
All right, boys and girls, what we got?
Manny, giving him one more day.
I hope so, but we'll see. You know, we're starting losing those 3 days back date, but it's a quick turnaround from yesterday to today. I have never found a whole lot of improvement, you know, from night games to day games. So he's going to attempt to throw and hit a little bit. So that's a good sign. And if that goes well, there's that potential. Who knows? Might use him to pinch hit.
Two more bullpen moves.
Yeah, Logan and Yaks here. What a great name, huh? I don't know if he's going to be able to get him people. He's got a big league name. Got to come up with another nickname other than, well, we'll see how he pitches first. How's that? It's tough. Didn't want to do it, obviously, but kind of got through last night. I was really trying to stay away from a long outing with Mike so we didn't have to send him out. But nature of the beast, nature of you know, having short starts. So, you know, Edwin, we'll see if he'll clear by Tuesday and I think he'll rejoin. You know, it's tough with him. He never, it's pretty whirlwind. It's the way it is. You know, he gets on a plane, he gets here, he's pitching. You know, he's better than that. It's just never got his feet on the ground. And, you know, Crichton broke out a third pitch at Roger and Griffin. Them have been working on last night through some quality, I call it a cutter slider hybrid. So that's good. So he'll take that with him. Go down there and continue to pitch well at that level behind him.
It's part of the thing with Jackson, too, not just, I mean, he was struggling here, but that you couldn't really afford to wait around because you needed a fresh arm up here.
And
he was.
We needed two. And, you know, that's self-inflicted. Of course, the Yankees had something to do with it, too. But you know, we made a lot of mistakes, and this is the price, some of the prices you pay. Yeah, I don't think we've sent anybody out this year that's pitching well, you know.
What have the reports been on Yakabonis in terms of what you've heard and kind of how he fits in, I guess?
You know, he's you'd like to have him stay down there a little longer, but he's pitching well and would at some point this year probably been added. You know, you look at the numbers, you get a pretty good picture painted, and you know, he'll let it rip, but there'll be some anxiety and stuff, but he was a guy with 3 or 4 days off and our best option. And Logan has had some time off, and you know, it's one thing to say this guy's available to pitch length. Well, the other team's got to cooperate. You know, somebody is capable of throwing 60 pitches. The other team, after 30 pitches, scored 4 runs. He ain't pitching length. It's in short. You know, length in the American League is 2 innings.
Because Jackson has such a, you know, record of accomplishment in his career, is it hard telling him that?
You know, yes and no. It was probably easier than both of them are tough, but he's been down this road, but it's also why he's been, you know, continued to get opportunities. And I'd be surprised if he didn't get another one here. You know, he was pitching the best of any of those guys down there when we called him up. But I've told you many times, it's the biggest jump in professional sports from the minor leagues to the big leagues. The level of pitching, the level of hitters is a big chasm. It's getting bigger every year.
Chris Davis had a lot of success hitting power the other way. And a lot of times the traditional lefty power hitter is a big pull guy that hits for home runs. But he's been hitting the ball the other way for a lot of power. Why does he not get that same sort of reputation as a lefty power hitter that can go the opposite way?
Well, you can't shift to the bullpen in left center field, you know?
Yeah.
It's like when they let me start playing guys in the bleachers, I might be able to get Judge out. You can't shift there. It's not, is it allowed? I wonder if we could do that. You can't put him in foul ground either. But you know, Chris, I thought Chris had a good approach last night. He's not at no point. I told him after the game that's some of the best at bats he's had consistently in one night, and none of them looked like he was trying to hit a ball, you know, over to New Jersey. I was pretty proud of it. Did you ever figure out how I was going to get Chris off the field? We were getting close to Michael Gibbons hitting, playing shortstop. I kept thinking, my gosh, if he gets hurt, that really wouldn't be a good question to answer afterwards. You know, Jackson was a position player for 4 or 5 years, so that was my two emergency go-tos. Cassie felt good last night, and his reward for that is day game after night game. He doesn't want any more time off. His family's here. He hasn't seen him since February. It's pretty cool.
All right. That is the skipper, Buck Showalter. And about the game today, well, we'll find out eventually. Jim Hunter, he'll be talking draft when we continue with the warm-up show right after.
It is a warm and sunny day in the Bronx. Tomorrow is the amateur draft in Major League Baseball. And up next, we'll chat with the Orioles Director of Scouting, Gary Resich, on the Orioles Radio Network. Orioles and Yankees in New York today, closing out this three-game weekend series as the Birds look for a win. And tomorrow is a big, big day for every organization in Major League Baseball, the amateur draft. And Scouting Director Gary Resich joins us. Now, Gary, I know your staff has been in the bunker the entire week. How many names have you on your board right now that you're trying to zero in on for that 21st pick in the first round?
Well, overall, Jim, there's over 600, almost 700 names. But for our overall first pick, I think we're down to five or six, really.
How difficult is it to gauge when you're picking 21st? I mean, obviously, there are going to be 20 terrific players that go ahead of you. Do you have a sense of which players may be there or may fall, or are you hoping that there will be players that may be there or may fall?
Well, you're always hoping, and you know, one of the elite guys that would go in the you know top 10, 12 picks would fall to you. But realistically, you kind of zero in on the guys that you think you have a realistic chance to get to you, and then you try and manage your draft after that backwards.
Okay, so when you look at the talent pool, and every year, you know, we hear, well, this is a big college draft, or this is a big high school draft. This draft is good for pitchers. This is good for position players. As your staff has observed the talent available, how do you perceive this draft and what's available?
Well, I think the first day of the draft, the first two rounds, is going to be pretty even. Both college and high school pitching and hitting, I think it's going to be pretty well distributed. So it's, you know, it's kind of like, you know, you pick them. But after that, it gets a little thin on college position players. And the emphasis, I think, will be on pitching overall.
Gary, is your philosophy more go for the college players because they're a little more mature and maybe closer to the big leagues? Or do you look at it simply, if this kid is the best player available, we don't care that he's 17 years old and coming from high school?
Well, with the high school pitchers, if we think he has a chance to be an impact elite-type talent, we'll go that direction. But when you're looking at college pitchers, you have a better idea after 3 years what they're going to be. Their maturity level is, you know, of course, 3 years, they're older. So you have a better idea what you're getting. So there are advantages and disadvantages to both.
Now, is that why last year you went for three college pitchers, your first three picks, or was that a coincidence that Sedlak, Aiken, and Deitch just happened to be available when you selected?
Well, it was sort of a coincidence, but also a target of ours. We wanted to improve the depth of pitching in our system. We also wanted guys that were a little closer to the big leagues, just the way that our team is structured now. So we ended up trying to do both at the same time.
Now, Austin Hayes, you selected last year in the third round, 91st pick, and I know you have the 98th pick this year, the fourth of the top picks in the 100. When you see a player like that that gets selected that low and is having the impact that he's having, that's good scouting. But what is it that you saw in a player like Austin Hayes that you thought, you know what, this might be a kid we should take a chance on?
Well, he was a pretty special talent. We had him valued pretty high. Rated pretty high, and you know, we've heard from other scouts in the industry that had him in the first round. So if you want to look at it, he was a first round talent that fell to the third round for whatever reason. We don't know whether teams passed him over because they knew something, or if they just overlooked him or whatever, but we were just thrilled to get him in the third round. That was a windfall for us, really.
Well, Austin Hayes and Ryan Mountcastle, who was a much higher pick, both hitting very, very well at Frederick. And when you see picks begin to blossom, and I love what the organization is doing with Mountcastle. He's only 20, but they're challenging him by sending him into the Carolina League. So when you go back and look at the scouting when you decided to pick Mountcastle, I'm guessing that what you saw, you're beginning to see now as a minor leaguer.
Right. We identified, our scouting staff identified Mountcastle as the best high school hitter in the draft. And even though the national publications had him ranked a little lower, you know, we thought it was a bat that could really impact our major league team not too far in the future, and he was very young. So for us, it was a very appealing pick at that point, and we're just thrilled with what he's doing.
Now, today, the day before the draft, we need to congratulate you and your staff because one of your draft picks just got promoted to the big leagues for the first time. Jimmy Yacobonis, a relief pitcher, 13th round pick back in 2013, the 399th player selected in that 2013 draft. And for your scouts, whoever scouted him and drafted him, this has to be a big day, the day before draft, to see one of your picks that you took a chance on has earned his way to the big leagues.
Right, right. Well, I think our staff overall through the years, the last 5 years, and now this is my sixth year, I think our staff has done an incredible job and better than most clubs at identifying prospects, not only in the A rounds, second day drafts, or, you know, later in the draft on the third day. I think the staff's done a tremendous job, and this is just another example of that.
Yeah, and I guess what we hear about the baseball draft, it is an inexact science. So you're going to hit on some, you're going to miss on some, but the hope is that you'll bring in talent in the system that will upgrade the system. That's what it's all about, right?
That is what it's all about. It's all about getting talent for our investment dollar, right?
All right, well, Gary, we appreciate the visit. Congratulations on the staff getting everything together this week and whittle down that list, and hopefully you're going to get some good players tomorrow. 21st pick in the first round, and we appreciate the time. I know you're very busy.
Thank you, Jim. Yeah, we hope to get someone we really like, as we do every year. Thanks a lot.
All right, that's the Orioles director of scouting, Gary Raisich. The Orioles have four of the top 98 picks in the draft. Their first pick will be the 21st overall selection in the first round. Mid-90s expected here today in New York. Plenty of sunshine. It's the O's and Yankees. Stay tuned now for Orioles baseball.
And hello again, baseball fans. Joe Angel and Jim Hunter back at Yankee Stadium. In the loss column again this afternoon, Orioles have now lost four straight, and they've lost 20 of the last 29. They are now fourth in the Eastern Division standings, and by the end of tonight, could be just a game out of last. And they lost the last two games here at Yankee Stadium by a combined score of 30-6. And now we head to Chicago. And this one, you could say, almost got away almost immediately in the bottom of the first inning after Chad Green got the Orioles 1-2-3 with a couple of strikeouts in the top of the first inning. That's when Kevin Gausman went to work. Gardner, a leadoff single. Judge, a one-out single. Then there was a wild pitch. And then Holiday got a base on balls. And that's when Castro started the Yankees scoring. Line drive up the middle. That's a base hit. Gardner is in. Judge, here comes the judge. Here comes the throw. It is late. And so for Castro, that's a two-run single. Yankees off to a 2-0 lead in the first. And Roger McDowell, the pitching coach, doing something that no pitching coach enjoys doing, and that is go out to the mound in the first inning. Yeah. To pay Gausman an early visit. Well, didn't help all that much when Gary Sanchez came up to hit. Sanchez, fly ball, deep left. Way back there, Mancini behind him. It's in the seats behind the Oriole bullpen. Way back in left center. So the Yankees today, they pick up where they left off last night with a 5-run first inning. 5-0, New York. Yeah, then Green got three outs in the second inning, but the Orioles made a comeback of sorts in this game in the third. J.J. Hardy, a leadoff double. After that, nothing but doubles for a while. First, Ruben Tejada.
And the pitch, swinging a line drive towards right center field. That ball's going to be a gapper, and it's down for a base hit. Hardy around third, and he will score. Heading to second is Tejada, and he slides in head first with an RBI double. So the Orioles go back-to-back doubles, get a run on the board. It's now 5-1 New York.
And they weren't done yet because seconds after that, Smith, he got in on that doubles act.
3-1 is ripped down the right field line. There's a base hit for Seth Smith. Rounding third, heading to the plate is Ruben Tejada. Seth Smith goes to second base, and he is in with a stand-up double. So the Orioles put together three consecutive doubles. It's now 5-2 in favor of the Yankees.
Ah, but there's more. Oh, sorry, my bad. There's more when Scope came up to hit.
And the pitch, swinging the ground ball, base hit down the left field line. This is going to be another double. Smith will round third, head for the plate, and Scope is cruising in the second base with an RBI double. Four consecutive doubles. It's now 5-3 in favor of the Yankees.
And after losing the last two games here at Yankee Stadium by a combined score of 30-6, four doubles sounds like a real good idea. Maybe on the airplane. We'll have to wait. In the fourth inning, Yankees extended the lead.
Those are big runners out there in this two-run game. And the 2-1 is hit towards the middle. There's a base hit. Holiday comes through. Heading to the plate is Hicks. Here comes Judge. The throw is cut off. And it's a two-run single for Matt Holiday. And the Yankees' lead is now 7-3.
And, of course, here at Yankee Stadium, it would not be a highlight show unless we include a couple of Aaron Judge highlights. Yep, had another big game today. He had a single in the first. He had a walk in the second. A double in the fourth inning. And he came up with the bases empty, Aaron Judge, in the sixth.
The 1-1 to Judge, swinging a high fly ball to deep left field. That ball is crushed way, way back and gone. He hit it to the top of the bleachers. A mammoth shot by Aaron Judge, who got a hanger, and he deposited it deep in left field. His 20th home run of the year. And the Yankees' lead is now 8-3. My goodness, did he hit that ball. There's a standing room section in the back of the bleachers in deep left center field, and it looks to me that that's where he hit it.
Okay, you ready? The measurement? 495 feet. Although to me it looked like maybe 5'10". But they say at 495 feet, it is the longest home run in the major leagues so far this season. So at that point, the Orioles were, under the judge's mercy. In the seventh inning, from the judge, there was no more mercy.
The 2-2 to Judge, swinging a line drive deep right field. Smith on the run. That ball is back, and that ball is gone. It carries out the opposite way. Aaron Judge is on another planet. A laser beam line drive the other way, and it's a four-run inning. And it's now 14-3 in favor of the Yankees. A two-run double and a two-run homer. Judge has homered in back-to-back at-bats.
How about Aaron Judge now? 8 home runs in 12 games against the Orioles so far this season. Amazing. And the third inning today was the only inning in which the Orioles scored any runs. They went scoreless after that, and the game ended against the Yankee bullpen. And now Smith waits again. Edmond ready at the belt. He delivers 2-1. The dribbler, first base side, coming in the field of ball, Sanchez. Oh, he fell down and then lunges at the bag, and he got to the bag before Smith could get there. And that's how the game ends. That's how the weekend ends. Orioles came to Yankee Stadium, and boy, did they get the wind knocked out of them. And now they got to go to the Windy City. Yankees a 3-game sweep, and they do it in no uncertain terms. Jim Hunter in a moment on the Orioles Radio Network.
So the Yankees complete the 3-game weekend sweep. They win it today 14-3. Time to hear from the skipper. Let's head downstairs. Post-game comments. Gary Thorne is with Buck Showalter.
Buck, another long day. I know you'd hoped you were going to get some distance out of your starter and couldn't again today.
Yeah, we dug another hole. It's taking a toll on the guys on the field. A lot of long innings, a lot of pitches. Just not pitching very well. That's obvious statement of the year.
Yeah. Kevin has continued to struggle in the first. Do you see anything going on in that first inning for him?
Well, guys, sometimes I don't care how good you are and what you've done in the past, you start kind of losing, your presentation and, waiting for something negative to happen instead of looking for something positive. I think he's always, we think, a start from getting on a roll, but that just hasn't happened for him. Stuff and health is there, but obviously they're real good and we're not pitching well. That's a bad combination.
Yeah. How about Yakubonis? Got a chance for a debut.
Yeah, that's, you kind of throw some of that stuff out, came in aggressive just like we knew, just whether he was going to have some, a little too much emotion going on there. I really would have liked to had a little different setting for him, but the schedule and the pitching doesn't cooperate, so it's a start for him. You got a strikeout, and some good things happen. I'm sure he had some people here today. I wish the results had been a little better for him, but it'll get better.
Do you feel like you can start in Chicago now with what you've got pitching wise on the staff? Leave it as is?
No, probably not. I don't know. I'll talk to Dan, see where we are available. There's some things moving around there. The AAA game doesn't start till 5:00, which is about when ours ended, unfortunately. But we'll try to stay ahead of it.
Any update on Manny?
Good. Another good day. He took off the tee and some soft toss and went out and took some ground balls. So you know, we're moving in that direction. Just see, you know, you have to wake up tomorrow and see if it's sore from what he did today and take it little by little. I'm hoping that he'll get out and take batting practice and see if tomorrow's an option. But, you know, got some bridges to cross there.
Okay. Buck, thank you.
Thank you.
Post-game comments from Buck Showalter as the Yankees complete the sweep as they win it today by the final of 14-3. Back to wrap it up at Yankee Stadium after this on the Orioles Radio Network.